This morning, if the Lord would be pleased to come to our aid and rescue the thoughts and things upon my mind this morning for a while. if you'd like to turn with me to begin with this morning, we'll turn to Romans, the Roman letter. There in chapter 9. And we'll start in verse 25. Romans chapter 9, verse 25. This morning, that that's upon my mind is the subject matter of Jehovah Sabaoth. Now, I want you to notice, and I know that you do, but I'd point out for the younger ones, the difference between the word Sabbath and the word Sabaoth. The word Sabbath is used in the Bible. It's referring to and is talking about the seventh day. It's talking about the day of rest. And of course, the Lord gave the commandment and he told the children of Israel there in Exodus chapter 20. One of the commandments there was that they should keep, that they should hallow, that they should sanctify the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and keep it holy before the Lord. But here this morning, we're not going to talk about the Sabbath. We're talking about Sabaoth, this word. It's different from that. And it is distinguishing and teaching a side of God or a character of God that not too many people really understand or really think exists with God. The Bible teaches us also that Jehovah Sabaoth, that he is the Lord of hosts. In the Old Testament, you'll see many references and expressions that reference and uses that, the Lord of hosts. That word host there, taken from the Hebrew word, means to wage war. To wage war. Sabaoth is a military term. It is a military term distinguishing the name of God, Sabaoth. So let us read here. There's only two places in the New Testament that this word referencing God and this perspective and this characteristic of God is used in this sense. Only two places, and we'll look at those, this usage of the word Sabaoth. Now, starting in verse 25 of the Roman letter in chapter 9, as he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah saith before, except the Lord of Sabaoth. Notice that. Hath left us a seed. We had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. So what is the Apostle Paul in this context as he is coming down through here and comes to this, and he references the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord, the warrior God, from this military aspect, who is a defender, who is a protector, who is a revenger, who executes judgment against those that misuse and abuse and bring about injustices here upon this earth. And so in this sense here, when he is talking about and says, and as Isaiah or Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth. hath left us a seed. We had been as Sodom and been likened to Gomorrah. We know Sodom and Gomorrah. We know how that God destroyed those cities, raining down fire from heaven and the other cities of the plains when God judged them. When God came down there and saw and sent forth his judgment upon them for the abominations that was going on there in those plain cities, and in particular in Sodom and Gomorrah. And here the apostle is showing forth and likening this unto the Lord saving a remnant, the Lord fighting and protecting and preserving a remnant of his people. And said that if the Lord had not fought, if the Lord had not protected, if the Lord had not been a God of a military, a defender, a keeper of his people, then all of his people would have perished in a timely sense. But there's a remnant that is saved. We know that it was even among the Jewish people of that day and time that there was a remnant according to the election of grace that were saved, that was reserved. Even going back to the time of the prophet in the Old Testament, that when he cried out and said, "Lord, they've digged down thine altars. They've done all of this and that, and I alone, I'm left a prophet. I'm left alone a servant unto thee." And remember what the Lord said, "I have reserved unto myself 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. They have not bowed down. They have not worshipped the image of Baal." That was a remnant out from among the people that the Lord had reserved, that the Lord God of Sabaoth had fought for and had defended and had blessed to remain faithful disciples unto the Lord. You know, a lot of folks want to just look at the characteristics or the different aspects of God from the standpoint, God is love, God is light, God is a God of peace, God is a God of mercy, God is a God of comfort, and he is all of this, he is all these things. We talk about him many times, and thank God for those wonderful attributes of a thrice holy God that is all of those things, that he is complete and full and wonderful and is a total sufficient, a total supply, a total provider for his people among those lines. But most folks don't realize and look at the aspect of the warrior God, of God that fights, of God that defends, of that God that takes care of his people, and God that settles injustices, that God brings forth and causes men here upon this earth to reap what they have sown, and to preserve and protect, that there remains disciples unto the name of the Lord God here upon this earth. And we know that the scripture teaches us that he will find faith upon this earth when he returns again. Ephesians 3:21 tells us, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So the church that Jesus built, because he is the Lord of Sabaoth, he fights for his church. He defends his gospel church. Therefore, there will be a remnant. There will be a people keeping that house and dressing that house just like the Lord built it and just like the Lord gave it while he was here upon this earth. There will be folks that will be able to contend for the faith, to fight for the faith, to cherish the faith that was once delivered unto the saints because of the Lord God of Sabaoth. Amen. Thank God that he is the Lord God, Jehovah God, the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth. Now, if you would like to turn over with me into the book of James in chapter 5, in James chapter 5, and we'll start reading there in verse 1. This is the other place where you're going to find the usage of this expression of the Lord of Sabaoth. And so many folks, I believe that this lesson is very important because I've heard it with my own ears where this word has actually been spoken and it's just been blurred over and used as the Lord of Sabbath. It's not the Lord of Sabbath. It's the Lord of Sabaoth. It has a totally different meaning and it presents a side of God that is so important because God is an avenger of blood. Amen. He is an avenger of those that misuse and those that persecute the weak and the downtrodden and those that can't defend themselves, those that are taken advantage of. Oh, I think of all the little dear children in this world that are so that is taken advantage of and are misused and are harmed and treated so bad here, and it's been going on all of this time, all the way back through time, where men, wicked men, from the abundance of the wickedness of the heart, have done those things that are unseemly and not even proper to be spoken of in public and so forth. And many of them have gotten by with things. Many of them have abused children. That has never even been found out about, and they have grown up and carried those scars and borne those burdens and so forth. Oh, but I want to tell you though, there's a Lord God of Sabaoth that sits upon the throne of glory, and he takes notice of and he knows every misjustice and injustice and every wicked act that is levied at and toward the weak and the frail and the sickly and the downtrodden and the widows and the orphans that have been mistreated and abused here upon this earth. You can't help but read the Old Testament and to see and understand in a great particular way where God shows great mercy and fights and defends widows and orphans and those that are downcast and those that are mistreated, those that the so-called elite think are the scum of the earth, but yet the Lord God of Sabaoth, he's taking notice. And brothers and sisters, one day, amen, when he comes again, in the clouds of glory, and he comes and he closes it out, and he folds it up like a vesture, and there's the consummation of all things. I tell you that every wrong will be made right, every misjustice will be settled, every case, amen, will be taken care of, for the Lord God of Sabaoth, he will handle it. Amen, he will handle it. Folks may think they get by with things here in this life, but the Lord God of Sabaoth sits on his throne and he's a divider. Amen. He's a separator. He's a discerner. Amen. He knows. He knows, amen, the plain truth. He knows the raw truth, if you please. He knows exactly all about it. There's a lot of things we think we know, but we don't really know. We don't have all the details. We don't have all the facts. You know, when folks have disputes, there's different parties, and folks will say, you know, there's two sides to everything. Well, usually there's this side and that side, then the right side. Most of the time, all parties are at fault some way or another. But I want to tell you, who knows that and who can discern that and who can measure that out and who can mete out justice? Amen. It's the Lord God of Sabaoth. Yeah. I hope you're getting the picture. Amen. That I'm trying to paint to you this morning upon this subject matter. I want you to listen now here in James chapter 5 when he says, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." Here is a great warning against those that would say, even as the man that said his fields and crops brought forth greatly, but he failed to give God the honor and the praise. He failed to bow his head and to thank the Lord, amen, for his increase, and to give and to share it with others, and to do as the scriptures would teach and as God would lead to do, but in a very selfish way, and in a way of trusting those riches, said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build greater barns. And I'll just say to myself, soul, take it easy. You have many goods laid up for many days. But what did God say? He said, thy food. Yeah. This day, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Thy very being, the very essence of you, will be required of you. You know, even as the Laodicea church that said, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. You know, God blesses and God prospers. Rich Abraham was a rich man. Job was a rich man. There's nothing wrong with being a rich man as long as we don't let the riches rule us, as long as we don't let them take the hold, and as long as we don't trust in them and put our confidence in them, because they're corrupt and they canker, and as they come, they can go. But as long as we bow and keep our knee bowed before the Lord God of glory, and realize that every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, and it is God that gives us our daily bread and blesses us, amen, with the very air to breathe and the very strength in our hands to work, and with good sound mind to be able to function and to go about from day to day. But we see the setting of Israel in the day and time before when Christ came, and before the destruction of Israel. We see the reliance upon and the attitude of riches and wealth, even in Israel, and how they withheld it from the downcast and the poor. You know, God told them to leave the corners of their fields and to leave that for the poor to come in and to reap from. God provided safety nets. God provided a way, but it was the right way. There was still work involved for folks to do. They needed to glean the corners of the fields. You know, Ruth, when she went to claim, and how that Boaz left handfuls of purpose extra there, told the workers to leave handfuls for her to pick up. You know, this is the Lord God of Sabaoth to those that will look to the Lord, and to those that will walk by faith and step forward and engage in and be active in and have an exercise of faith and mind and body. God will give the increase. Yeah. Oh, yes. We understand the different faces, the manifold faces of that, and the teaching that goes along with that. But here the Lord is giving a warning. He says, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Why? Because they trust in those things rather than trusting in the Lord God and in his mercies, and acknowledging where our help comes from. That was the thing with Israel. They trusted in this and trusted in that. We've been talking about that. And their alliances and their leagues with other nations that they made. And of course, we know that was the downfall of Solomon, with making leagues with so many different nations, and would do that by marrying the daughters of the king and so forth of another nation, and took all of those strange wives and so forth, and that led him astray and to look and to follow after other gods, false gods. So then in verse 3 he says, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last day. Oh, amen. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's no need to heap treasures together for the last day. Amen. For the last days. Notice that. To think that our treasures will save us in the last days. Our treasures won't save us in the last days of our lives. Now we know the other side of that. We know that we should take the wisdom and be wise and handle our finances in a way that's proper and pleasing unto the Lord. And we should save and we should put some things aside. But we don't trust in them as that they're going to save us. I tell you, the Lord God that provides now, He's the Lord God that will provide for us and bless us and help us all the days of our life.
Yeah, amen.
He says, behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields. He's talking about now, yes, your fields have brought forth.
Yeah.
Whatever your fields are, whatever your employment is, whatever your occupation is. And if you have hired employees, they had the hired servants and laborers, and they reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. In other words, they didn't pay them. They cheated them. They defrauded them. And now they're crying out against them before the Lord. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Yeah. Amen. These that worked but didn't get the pay that they should have gotten, that they were defrauded, that they were cheated because folks had this wrongful heart and attitude to get gain any way and every way. This is the world system today. Oh, is to make it however, to fraud, to stab in the back, and the whole aim and the whole goal is to heap up and just to lay up. And as I've said, this is a two-sided coin. But here we see this side of it that the scripture's bringing out. And in this context, amen, he's bringing in and teaching about the Lord of Sabaoth, that he is a revenger. Amen, that he will execute judgment upon the owners of those fields that withhold the wages from their workers, that will cheat, that will be that are dishonest and so forth, and the cries of those that the injustices that are against them, they come unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the militant Lord, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord God that wages war, who is a defender and a protector and an avenger. Amen. Of those that are wronged and cast down and done wrong here in this earth. You know, I never really noticed before. And as we turn to go back to the New Testament, to some passages to further enhance this and to bring this forth, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, dealing there with Hannah. And I've never really noticed this like this before. But one of the earlier places of the Lord of hosts, the God that wages war, and it's in the same sense as the Lord of Sabaoth, that Hannah is so distraught and so distressed. It says there in 1 Samuel chapter 1 in verse 10, it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I want you to notice that. Notice the condition. Notice the frame of mind. And as she starts out and starts her prayer, and she is going to make the vow unto the Lord, who does she make this vow to when she says, she said, O Lord of hosts. She is saying, O Lord of Sabaoth. Oh Lord, that hears, and oh Lord, that requires, and oh Lord, that will attend to and hold accountable. You see, she knew that God would hold her accountable to the vow that she was making here, that she was going to make before the Lord, that if the Lord would look upon her affliction, that if the Lord would remember her, that if the Lord would not forget her, and if the Lord would grant and bless her a man child, that she would give him back unto the Lord all the days of his life. She said this to the Lord of hosts. She said this to the Lord of Sabaoth. Amen. She knew that God, amen, would hold her accountable for the words that she was speaking. This is this side of God. This is this side of the character, of the attributes of God. Now, before we would enlarge upon that, I want to go back to the book of Exodus, there in the third chapter, where God is going to speak unto Moses out of the midst of the bush that was burning, but the bush that was not being consumed. And Moses is there upon the mountain of God of Horeb. And Moses, God called Moses out of the midst of that bush. And what did Moses say? Moses said, "Here am I. Here am I." I want you to notice that. Here am I. In other words, I'm present right here, right now at this time. Here am I. That's going to be important when God speaks unto him later on in telling him who that he should say has sent him, "I am that I am." Now Moses couldn't say that, and no other man can say that. "I am that I am." What God is saying is that I'm the God that's always been. The God, he is a present tense in every tense. In the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense, he is present tense. He was present in the past tense, present in the present tense, and present in the future tense.
Amen.
I am that I am. Moses was "I am" at the present, but he wouldn't promise the next second. He wouldn't promise the next breath. And Moses had a beginning. He had a beginning. He had a starting. He had a conception far as here in time. Amen. But God has no beginning. This Lord God of Sabaoth, he has no beginning and he has no ending. He is the Almighty, the all-powerful God.
Amen.
And in verse 6, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. We know that this Lord God of Sabaoth that we're talking about this morning, amen, the God that's always been, the God that is, and the God that will be, amen, the same as he is right now, the same that he's always been. And even as those cherubims in glory, amen, sing forth of his praise and declare and say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Amen. A beautiful picture of I am, that they are accrediting, that they are ascribing the honor and glory and the holiness, recognizing the holiness of God. And part of God's holiness, amen, part of God's nature is that he is the Lord God, amen, of militant, that he is the Lord God of Sabaoth. And God reaffirms unto Moses that I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob, distinguishing himself, amen, of who he is. And as God says in his word and told Abraham, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And he said, told Abraham to hearken to the voice of Sarah and to put her bondsmaid and the bondsmaid child out from among you, that he wouldn't have inheritance among Isaac, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And of course we know that that child was Ishmael. And of course, Ishmael is once again waging even today and making a war with Isaac, even over there in that land, even today. Ishmael, and the Arabs are descendants from Ishmael, and those Palestinians are descendants from Ishmael. But God distinguishes himself and says where the descent would be, where the line would be, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And of course, it was through that line, amen, that the Lord Jesus Christ came. Oh, and it's not seeds as of many, amen, but it is one, amen, the holy seed. And thank God, amen, for the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Isaac is a figure and a picture of. And I tell you, we see that while the Lord was here, not only did he came into his own, and his own received him not, how that they rejected him and ridiculed him and scorned him, endeavoring to cause him to be a man acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and of the shame that was set before him, that he despised the cross, but he endured it because he knew what he was doing in accomplishing that the Father had given him to accomplish. I got to hurry along with this. Down in verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Notice once again, Moses, when he answered God, as God called unto him out of that bush, and Moses said, here am I. And here Moses says to God, who am I? You know, that's a question that we should feel and to ask. Who am I? Who am I here in this sea of humanity? Who am I among so many billions? Who am I among the stress and the chaos and the catastrophes and all of the calamities and the troubles here in this world system and the Antichrist system and the spiritual weakness in high places? Who am I? You know, that's what Moses, he knew Pharaoh. He knew Egypt and her might and her military power, and says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who are we that as we live here in this life? Who are we to overcome? I tell you, we can only overcome through the Lord God of Sabaoth. We can only overcome as the Lord fights. Brothers and sisters, the battle is not ours. If it was ours, we'd be defeated to start with. Amen. It's the Lord's. He's the Lord God of Sabaoth. He's the militant God. Amen. And he will fight for us. He is a defender of his people. I tell you, he holds court in glory. Amen. He sits upon his throne. The armies of heaven, his holy angels, amen, are there at his disposal. And he sends, and they go, and they come, and they go forth at his command. Amen. For he is a militant leader. Amen. A militant God, the Lord God of Sabaoth. And so, in verse 13, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Amen. This is the Lord God of Sabaoth. Amen. The God that's always been, the God that always will be. We know and understand and a prime example there in Joshua chapter 5, when the children of Israel would come up against the city of Jericho. And they needed the Lord of Sabaoth. They needed the Lord of hosts. Amen. They needed the militant God to fight for them and to overcome and to defeat the city of Jericho. And if you notice in Joshua chapter 5, starting there in verse 13, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand." This is one of the most wonderful pictures of the captain of the Lord of hosts, of the captain of the Lord of Sabaoth. Amen. The Son of God, the second person of the triune God, is the manifested person here. Is the manifested man. Amen. Here by the wall of Jericho. And how does he appear? Unto Joshua. He appears and Joshua sees him with his sword drawn in his hand. If that's not a picture, amen, of a militant scene, I don't know what is. If that's not a picture, amen, that shows and describes the captain of the host of the Lord, the one that is going to fight, the one that is going to give this city into their hand. You know the story or the narrative as it goes of how they were to walk around one time a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day they were to walk seven times. They walked 13 times. On the seventh day they walked seven times, and they weren't to say anything either of those days. God gave the order. He set them in line the way they should go. And when they completed on that seventh day, that seventh round, God said, "Then you're to shout because the Lord has given you the victory." And when they shouted, those walls fell down flat. Brothers and sisters, it wasn't their shouting that brought the walls down. Amen. They were just doing what God told them to do to give the praise, honor, and glory all to God. But the Lord God of Sabaoth, amen, the militant God, with his sword drawn, gave the victory, brought down the walls of the city that the people could ascend and go into it and to conquer and to overthrow that gateway city. There of them coming in to go into the land of Canaan, God gave them the victory as the Lord God of hosts. So he has his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" See, Joshua didn't realize and know yet who this man was, but what he wanted to find out was, are you for us? Are you for our adversaries? But notice what the Lord said. He said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." Amen. Who is the captain of the host of the Lord? The captain of it is the Son of God. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that we now know and understand his name. And the Bible tells us in the Hebrew letter, amen, that the Lord is the captain of our salvation. Amen. That he is the captain to bring many sons unto glory. He was the fighter. He fought the battle of Armageddon. Amen. He fought there at Mount Calvary. He fought at Golgotha. Amen. He fought and he won the victory. He triumphed it. He bruised, amen, the head of Satan. He defeated him who had had the power of death over, amen, God's people. Oh, and Jesus won that victory and legally, amen, brought every one of his people out from under that law of sin and death. And thank God, as God's people comes along in time, they're born of the Spirit of God, and that vital work takes place. But the very captain of our salvation, amen, the very one that fought for our salvation, for us to have a home in heaven in immortal glory, amen, he won that victory. He won that great deliverance. And so here he tells Joshua, "But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." Joshua fell on his face to the earth. Amen. When the Lord says this to Joshua, amen, when the Lord appears as a man, amen, how else would he appear unto a man but in the form of a man? And that's how he appeared here and manifested himself here unto Joshua. And when Joshua heard these words and felt, when this man spake, oh, I tell you, it no doubt it struck with inside Joshua. Amen. It wasn't only what the Lord said. Amen. It was how the Lord said it. Amen. It was the voice of the Lord. Oh, it was an authoritative voice. It was a commanding voice. It was a powerful voice, a victorious voice. You know, John describes the glorified Christ and there in the Revelation letter in chapter 1 and says, and his voice was as the voice of many waters. Amen. A voice of triumph, a loud, commanding, authoritative voice.
Yeah.
A voice of certainty, not a voice of uncertainty. Oh, I tell you, many times in life I've had a voice of uncertainty. Oh, I've had a voice that cracked and frail with uncertainty, with weeping mixed, with tears mixed, amen, of uncertainty, of not knowing, and even of fearing. Oh, but I want to tell you, our Lord, the captain of the host of the Lord of Sabaoth, his voice is a certain voice. It's an authoritative voice. There's no fear in that voice. Matter of fact, when Jesus came unto them walking on the water, he says, fear not, and peace and calm. Oh, it was an authoritative voice, and even the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. I tell you that he is the Lord of Sabaoth over the elements that he created, over all of the laws that he put in force. Amen. That we call in nature the law of gravity. We know how that he miraculously by his power as the prophet thrust the stick into the water and the iron that it fell in, how that it swam, the iron swam. They're overcoming gravity. There's no way that iron should come up from water to swim up from water. Gravity would keep it down. You drop something, it's just going to fall down. Oh, but the Lord God of hosts, the Lord God with that certain voice, that voice that is commanding, that voice that is authoritarian. Oh, when he speaks, nothing can stay his hand. When he directs, nothing can hinder him. Why? Because he is God. He is God. He always will be God. Thank the Lord for that this morning.
Amen.
That he'll never cease. He'll never cease. Oh, he'll never vacate his throne. You know, been such turmoil going on this week about the vacating, causing the things that came about to vacate the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives. And it was that one man made a motion and so forth. But I want to tell you, no man can stay, amen, the God of Sabaoth's hand. No one can hinder him. No one, no devil, no power of hell. Nothing seen or unseen will ever cause God to vacate his throne.
Amen.
Oh, because he is the Almighty, the all-powerful God. He is the Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
He is the Lord of Sabaoth.
Yes, he is.
Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? You know, that's enough descriptive words right there to cause me to know who that man is. There are several descriptive words right here. But seeing what Joshua did, that Joshua fell down to worship him, and to see that this man, who is captain of the Lord's host, he received the worship. He received the worship. He did not rebuke him. He didn't rebuke him. We know in the Revelation letter that John fell down and he got rebuked for falling before one and said, don't worship me, worship only God. I'm of thy fellow servant, the prophets. So, but here it is God that will receive the worship. It is only God that will acknowledge the worship and accept the worship. And this is what Joshua was doing. What saith my Lord unto his servant? Oh, when he had bowed himself to the earth. Then notice what the Lord said. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You know, that's another expression right there that lets me know exactly who this man is. Amen. In the form of a man. But this is the Lord, the captain of the host. This is the second person of the triune God. Amen. Why? Because it is the same thing. It's the same scenario. Even as the Lord God told Moses to put his shoes off his feet, for the ground that he stood on was holy ground.
Yeah.
What made it holy ground? Because the holy God was there.
Yeah.
That's what made it holy ground.
Amen.
Oh, before holy God was there, it was just ground like the other ground, touching it round about. And after the holy God was gone, it was right back to just like it was. Amen. But while God was there, amen, it was holy. Amen, it was holy ground. Whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. What did he do? He loosed his shoes from off his feet. He took them off as the Lord commanded him and told him to do. This is the Lord God of Sabaoth. Think about David when he went out to go against Goliath. There in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we'll get right on over to where we need to go there. Starting verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Notice, little g, plural. He had many of them. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. This giant was roaring and raging and boasting of what he was going to do. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear. This was a military endeavor here. This was a military conflict. David and this and Goliath were engaging in a military battle here. And I want to tell you, the militant God of glory showed up. Hey, amen. God in his power, by his spirit, came there. And something wonderful happened. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God that maketh war. Amen. The one that is in control of military conflicts, military battles. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. David is saying, these are God's armies. Israel is God's people. This is God's armies. You defile them. And you say, you coming to me and making fun of me, but I'm coming out here to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
And this is, amen, as David invokes, as David calls upon the name of the Lord. That's what he's doing here. He's calling on the name of the Lord. And remember the lesson. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. David is calling upon the Lord of hosts, the God of military. Amen. The God that avenges. Amen. That will avenge his people, that will avenge his name, that will right the injustice. You see, that old giant, he had been making injustices for many days. He had been cursing, he had been snorting, he had been going about raging and so forth and cursing cursing the God and the God of Israel and the armies. When David came out, it insulted him so much, he said, am I a dog? Or am I nothing? That David, that this a boy comes out here like this and comes to me like this. It is set up in verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. In other words, this giant says, you're nothing. You're no match for me. They ought to be ashamed sending you out here. You know, we face many giants in our lives. We come up against many giants. You face giants. I'm talking about in symbolic language. You faced big problems. You've faced things that looked unsurmountable. Things that you didn't know how you were going to overcome it, how you were going to make it through it. Oh, but I want to tell you, the Lord God of Sabaoth came to your aid, came to your rescue, and delivered and blessed you and brought forth the victory and the deliverance. And this is what the Lord of hosts, amen, the Lord of Sabaoth, amen, was doing here for David. Brothers and sisters, as we go along here in this life, and as we face and as we see the troubles and the things that are coming to pass, and the things that are very frightful, that are giants, such things that we say, oh Lord, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? We've got to remember that the Lord of hosts, that the Lord of Sabaoth, amen, that he is the one that fights. He is the one that will defend. And that God in his divine providence, amen, that he will either suffers or he overrules. That's how the Lord is in control. Amen, brothers and sisters, there's nothing that goes past his eye. There's nothing that goes past his consideration. And that he will suffer, or yet he will overrule. We don't need to lose conscience. We don't need to forget that very fact and of those things. To remember that God, what a great fighter. We want God to fight for us. We don't want God to fight against us. We want God for us. And brothers and sisters, as the scripture teaches us, what shall we lay any charge against God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who shall lay any charge against, amen, God's elect? If God be for us, who can be against us? I tell you, if God is for his people in that eternal sense, God is for his people as we live right here on the shores of time. Yes, there's going to be something. There's going to be some disease. There's going to be some catastrophe or a tragedy or an illness or some sort that if we live long enough, that is going to take us out of this world. It's going to cause this heart to cease from beating, this blood from pumping through our body. But remember the words of the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ, amen, to die is gain. You see, we can't lose either way. Someone said, and I've said this, we know the Lord's going to take care of us in that moment, in that hour, that he, amen, is going to embrace and receive our very souls and spirits into glory. But it's getting to that point. You know, the Apostle Paul, he had a lot to say about that. Here he was in a prison. Here he was in the circumstance, in the situation that he was in. But he writes and teaches the Lord's disciples, amen, not to be over careful, not to be over anxious, not to be worried, not to fret, but to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. He was in that prison state, but yet he says to rejoice. And then, even as the other writer writes and says for us to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, when we are in the midst of trials and sore tribulations, to count it joy, looking to the Lord as the Lord of Sabaoth, as the Lord God that delivers. Thank God this morning that we have a great deliverer. In Isaiah chapter 10, In verse 24, he said, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwelleth in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt." I believe it was last Sunday that I told you that Israel was in the midst, and that when Israel would line up with Egypt, the Assyrians would come against them. When they would line up with the Assyrians, Egypt would come up against them. Amen. But here God is giving them this admonition, this exhortation. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwelleth in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt." But God said, "Don't be afraid." Now it's natural. It's a natural instinct, you know, for us to be afraid, for us to be terrified, for us to be troubled in the face of hardship, in the face of dire circumstance and situation. But God says, "I'm the Lord God of hosts. I'm the Lord God of Sabaoth." And therefore, what we need to constantly do is to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep our focus upon Him, knowing that He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I'll go with thee all the way, even to the end." To know that we have this great friend, we have this great one that is our defender, that is our protector, that He will avenge. And you know, I think of the scriptural reference that admonishes us not to try to get vengeance upon folks that do us wrong. The Bible says, teaches us that the Lord, that He will avenge. Not for us to take it into our own hands or try to get up devices to avenge against someone. But the Lord knows these things. And the Lord, He will avenge. Amen. He will do that which is right every time. We'll just make a mess of things. But the Lord will always do what is right and do it in a way and when it ought to be done. God help us to keep these thoughts upon our hearts and upon our minds, and to think of Him in that sense, that He is a militant God, that He is a great warrior, that He does stand with sword drawn, that He is a defender and an avenger of His people. God bless you this morning, is my prayer. Amen. Wilson, select a song, published Open Door of the Church.